Let's get sweaty.
Hey guys, welcome to a Shenmue Dojo Show bonus edition. Slightly different take. James has dug out an old Shenmue t-shirt, which we were talking about, God, a few years ago now. And actually, it has some very interesting markings on it, which are very much intertwined into the Shenmue story. So what we're going to do today is show off this t-shirt and then go into some of the lore that surrounds the markings on the t-shirt, what it all means, and what it could mean for the story going forward. So don't know how long we're going to go on for, but before we go on to that, James, man, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, doing very well. Thank you very much for asking, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. We've been, like I said, planning on doing this for probably a couple of years, and have finally got around to it.
Some sort of old chats, and we're talking like 2021 when this was sort of brought up at one point. So, I'd be quite pleased to finally discuss this with you today.
So what we're going to do is we'll show off the t-shirt as we go, and then we'll sort of flick between some articles that are on Phantom Riverstone. Chow, who's in part of the Shenmue community or does Shenmue photos on Twitter, has helpfully translated some of this for us. And also, you may know Chow was on the Monaco 10K dinner for the Kickstarter way, way back as well. So do check out his work if you get the chance to do so. Right, let's dive in. The t-shirt itself, it's a lesser known one, I'd say, James. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even 100% entirely sure how you would have got this back in the day. If you notice the front here, it says Shenmue.com. So whether or not it was like an online exclusive t-shirt, perhaps.
Maybe
even like a competition prize back in the day. So there's quite a few things going on with the t-shirt. Obviously, it's officially licensed Shenmue product. On the rear is the interesting thing that we're going to be talking about today. That may or may not be familiar to some people out there. I don't know. You identify what that is straight away. And on the sleeve, another little interesting addition to the t-shirt is like a crest that happens to be on the sleeve there. So yeah, we're going to be discussing this using bits and bobs from Switch over at Phantom Riverstone. He's gone into quite a lot of detail on the mirrors and some of the older events from back in the day with the Emperor and the mirror plans and tying everything together, kind of. We're going to be going through a lot of this stuff in a minute.
Right, so let's dive straight in then. So we'll wind things back before we start looking at the markings on the t-shirt and where they are in the game, etc. Just wind things a little bit back to the origin of the mirrors, Phantom Riverstone, and I'm going to talk about Oishi-san first. Obviously, if you get the mirror in Shenmue 1, there's some little known cutscenes. There's some optional cutscenes that are very easily missed by people. But if you go into the antique shops, both of them, they have their own unique dialogue cutscene around the mirrors. One of them talks about them from the sense of the Big Dipper, the protector of the North Star. The Phoenix is one of the protectors of the North Star. And Oishi-san in the other talks about the origins of Phantom Riverstone and the origins of mirrors from a book he read, and they were commissioned by an emperor long ago. James, do you want to sort of dive into that a bit more?
Yeah, so during, like, I think Ryo's just found the mirror, hasn't he, basically. He's got it out of the basement. He's in the dojo basement. Like Matt says, you can take it to a few different locations, but if you take it to the antique store, this is where you get the conversation with Oishi-san. And I forget the exact quote, but he says, you know, long ago, I read a book about an emperor in China who commissioned two Phantom Riverstone mirrors, Phoenix and a dragon. But Oishi-san doesn't really know much more than that. It's just talks about a little bit of a book he read. And then fast forward to the end of Shenmue 2, where Rio's walking and talking with Chemfor, there is a little bit of dialogue there that may be missable, but if you listen carefully to what Chemfor says, we've got the quote here, and this is slightly translated from the Japanese because the English is a little bit different than this. Mm. So the true Japanese translation that Chemfor comes out with here is, "There's a story told in the village a long time ago. A number of mirrors were made from Phantom Riverstone by decree of the Emperor. But the rulers at the time vied with each other for the mirrors to obtain the power hidden within. And they say that some even lost their lives." So there's a lot of mystery behind the mirrors there, obviously. Oishi-san, and this is part of Shenmue that I find amazing, that you've got Oishi-san and Dabuita talking about Ibuki Red, about this event, and then you're meeting a girl that is from the village where this event happened, and she remembers a story from long ago about this event happening. You know, it's pretty cool how it all ties together, and it further ties together once you hit Shenmue 3, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when you come into Shenmue 3, and this is about, I want to say sort of 4 hours in, depending on how you get stuck in with side quests, etc. But you go to Manyuan Temple, and you're searching the temple, just having a look around, as you've been invited to, while the monk there goes off to get some bits that were left by a well when he was training in Bailu Village. And what you get is a photo of the Verdant Bridge and what looks like to be an Imperial envoy. Now, Rio very much notices this very quickly because the designs on the banners, the phoenix lines up one-to-one with the phoenix on his mirror. So there's an instant link there. Diving sort of further into that, you then find out that the Verdant Bridge was built for that Imperial envoy back in 1910, and that the emperor of the time wanted to commission the best stonemason in China, which is Mr. Yuan's grandfather. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name because I will cock it up to hell. And that comes from Mr. Sun, who trains Rio, the drunken master who trains Rio. And essentially, they turn up with these plans, or we assume they turn up for these plans for these mirrors and commission Mr. Yuan's grandfather to make them. But it's all slightly skew-iffy at this point, because later on when you see the mirror plans, it doesn't corroborate to the actual mirrors themselves, which we'll touch on in a minute. But the temple lady goes in to talk about that the dragon is said to represent the emperor and the phoenix the empress, and it's said at the time the emperor was very much fond of the dragon and the phoenix. So what's that getting at, do we think?
So it's really interesting, and this is something we've spoken about at lengths on my lore streams, if anyone ever watched them. But basically, the emperor at the time, and you're thinking now 1910, in real China history, that was a bloke called Pu Yi, who, crazy, he was the emperor, he was made emperor at 2 years old in 1908. So actually in 1910, the guy's only 4 years old. So that is kind of why he's only said to be fond of the dragon and phoenix, because obviously he's a child at this point. You know, maybe with everyone wandering around in dragon and phoenix robes and stuff like that, maybe that's why he's got his attachment to these sort of mythological beasts. So strange. I'm not sure how he asked for this as a four-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Whether or not, because he's so fond of him, the people, the personnel around him, you know, higher ups or lower ups rather, because he, obviously he's the emperor, but people with power maybe came up with these ideas to get these mirrors made to, and it gets into it a little bit, what the mirrors are actually for, but basically are a use of a key for treasures of the Imperial Palace's treasures, basically. So it's all a bit mishmash, really, when you think of it like that. Like, there's a four-year-old that's fond of Emperor of Dragon Phoenixes, and that's why these mirrors were made in the first place. And why they hold powers, we still don't really know that. Or why, you know, people died back in the day with them. And obviously we know that Owao brought them from China at some point. So 20 years ago in modern-day Shenmue would be like 1966, that sort of period. So that's when Owao apparently killed Landi's father 20 years ago, that's they were training in Bailu Village, weren't they? If obviously that you get told this, not really in detail, but you do get told chunks and bits and bobs in Shenmue 3 about this. So Ryo's father, Uwao, and Zhao Sunming, who's Landi's father, were training in Bailu, and something, altercation must have happened at some point, and Uwao supposedly killed Zhao Sunming, and then took the mirrors, the dragon and the phoenix mirror, back home with him. So obviously one was under the cherry tree, one was hidden in the basement. Landi stole the dragon mirror from under the cherry tree, didn't realise that Uwao had both. Obviously Ryo's got the phoenix mirror, so essentially Landi at this point in time has the dragon mirror and Ryo has the phoenix mirror that are the key to unlock the treasure. And obviously that again changes towards the end of Shenmue 3. So Aldeire, actually, when you start speaking to her about the mirrors and the Verdant Bridge and stuff, she actually confirms that the mission was to hand over these plans to the Greatest Stonemason, which we know as Mr. Yuan's grandfather, who is, I'll try it, it's Yuan Liu Shan, okay? Yeah. And ultimately, those plans are the same plans that you find in Shenfa's father's room at the end of Shenmue 2. You know, Ryo's got the plans on the desk there. He puts his own phoenix mirror on top of the phoenix on the thing there. And that's sort of where the mysteries begin in terms of what the mirrors actually represent. And you could also see those plans, actually, if you inspect drawers in Shenmue 3. They are in Ryo's room, that brand new room somewhere.
And it's quite interesting when you see these plants, and it's actually probably a good segue into them, because I think it's rightly assumed that the plants were the plants for the mirrors themselves, the dragon, the phoenix mirror. But interestingly, and Chow translated this for us, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of the plants, it gives you the scaling. Now, lots of designs, architecture have scaling. It's quite common. But the interesting point here is that rather than being in potentially centimetres or inches, which you would expect for the mirrors, given that they're probably sort of the size of a hand, give or take, this is in metres. So the assumption that there was the plan for the actual mirrors either is wrong, or they cocked up and didn't put a C in front of the M, potentially.
Maybe. Yeah, so what Chow actually says is, on the, because obviously it's back to front on the scale, so basically on the far right of the scale, he's circled the characters for the word scale, he's circled the character for zero, and then in the middle of this line, he circled the character for one, and on the far left is, because it's going right to left reading, he's put 2 meters. So potentially that is the scale of 2 meters, you know, that he's using that line for, with the mirrors images that are above. So if you're using that scale, that's how big these things are. So obviously 2 meters is, you know, quite a hefty width.
Quite a reach, isn't it? I mean, if you think somebody's about, 6'5", you're probably not far off the ballpark in terms of a scale that you're looking for, I guess.
Right.
So That's interesting that's in there, isn't it? That seems, from what we can tell, that actually it's the plans for the cave rather than the mirrors themselves. Which then begs the question, what happened to the original plans for the mirrors? Did they disappear? Did he modify those plans potentially and just essentially expand it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But we do know that the mirrors were kept at the Cliff Temple at one point. And they formed a key. Yuandazu talks about it. It's on the scroll that you find in Bailu Village. It's talked about it. And obviously, the end of Shenmue 3, they're heading off to what looks like to be the Cliff Temple. So there's a lot of mystery around these mirrors and how or what people are essentially driving for. But then before we sort of go into the symbols themselves, there's also mystery around Phantom River Stone itself. Yeah. And what it actually is, and the translation of that, and also sort of the backstory of the material itself, if you want to pick that up.
Yeah, so Switch did another blog post on phantomriverstone.com. Funny that it's obviously I've just said the same word over there. So phantomriverstone.com, he's done an article on Phantom Riverstone. So the article itself is actually, because in English, and we've always just called it Phantom Riverstone, right? Yeah. Anyone listening to this is very much familiar with Phantom Riverstone. But actually, the Chinese reading translation is Tao River Green Stone, which is interesting because there is actually a legit stone called Tao Yan, which, and I believe it was Chow actually even pointed this out to Switch in the comments of the blog post at the bottom, and linked this. It's actually the Chinese Wikipedia. Yeah. So this is actual green stone. I mean, it's mainly used for inking, it's saying in the article here, but this possibly could have been the inspiration behind the green Phantom River stone, this Tao Green River stone, which is pretty cool, to be honest. And it kind of makes a lot of sense when you start seeing the symbols, because obviously these four characters written on the t-shirt in a minute that we'll go into. I mean, we can go into that right now if you want, Matt.
Yeah, dive straight into it.
Okay, so let's bring the t-shirt back out then. So I'm going to bring up the back of it, because this is where the majority of the mystery lies, okay? And Matt will put a better, clearer image on the screen of this part of the t-shirt as well. But essentially, there's a big crest, you know, just the big kanji symbol on the left-hand side there.
Yeah.
That, and this has again been translated by Chow, so thank you very much, Chow. That is Yuan. So that is what the character Yuan looks like. Which is obviously poignant because he's the one that's been commissioned to make these mirrors or these big stone carvings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a block of sort of a 3x3 grid in the middle,
yeah.
Which, again, you're reading from right to left and you're reading from up to down. And Chow translate this, it's very difficult to see actually because they're more like blobs rather than actual characters that are like legible. But from what you can make out, and maybe someone else in the chat or whoever's watching this might be able to comment and share their thoughts on what you think this actually translates to. But Chow thinks it says front plan view, which makes sense because the mirror plans that this is actually on are the front of the mirrors. The middle column, reading up to the from the top to the bottom, basically says wall art sketch, which again kind of makes sense now that we know that the plans are in meters. So wall art sketch, so it's an art sketch of essentially the wall, I guess, that they're going to be carved into. And then the third column says dragon and phoenix, which again makes sense because obviously when we get to the cave at the end of Shenmue 2 and also at the start of Shenmue 3, the two big stone carvings are of the dragon and the phoenix, aren't they? The humongous versions of the mirrors. And then the final section here is a 2x2 grid, essentially. Even harder to read that, but Chow thinks that it's most likely says Phantom River Stone, or in this case, Tao Green River Stone. If that makes sense.
Yes, that makes.
Which it kind of does, doesn't it? So basically what the plans are saying there is, Mr. Yuan, you are been commissioned to make these two wall carvings of a dragon and phoenix out of Tao Green River Stone, which is a stone only found in Bailu Village.
Yes, which is then sort of then comes into the Imperial Envoy while they were there. I think we're quite solid on the fact that the envoy themselves, the emperor, wasn't there, so it was obviously commissioned by somebody, like you said, James.
Mm-hmm.
Given, assuming that the emperor is four in Shenmue, they would have had somebody essentially appointed to them to run things until they came of age to pick things up, so it would have been that person probably commissioning it on.
Yeah, well, if you actually look at the cutscene, there's a bloke in the middle I think he's in black, isn't he?
Yeah.
Looks like he's in black. Anyway, I know it's like an ancient sort of flashback. But that guy in the middle, he is the envoy. He is that bloke that's there with the convoy.
Yes. And bearing in mind this emperor was the last emperor of the Qing dynasty, which he's talked about a lot through the Shenmue series. And then coming back to the t-shirt, and this is probably the most interesting thing, and this could be complete fluke for all we know, but on one of the sleeves you have the crest for Yuanzhu.
Yeah, again,
I'll put an image up for everybody to have a look at.
Again, Chow's translated, don't know if that'll go in focus, but Matt will chuck a better image up. But again, reading from, I assume, right to left and top to bottom, the characters, and the very hard characters to actually read, because obviously they're all sort of joined together. It's almost like a maze in how the lines are actually written. But it's a very old, ancient style of Chinese writing, scripture or whatever. That is how they used to write, I think, back in the day, kind of. But yeah, apparently that is Zhu Yuanda. So again, very, very interesting that it's on this t-shirt that is the mirror plans, basically. So what's his involvement?
Yeah, I mean, we could be reading too much into it and going, it's just somebody could have just, oh, that looked nice, didn't really know what it meant and chucked it on a t-shirt. But given that, if you go back to the Shenmue Master interviews, which we've covered in our podcast shows fairly recently, it's noted that Yuanzhu is somebody who can't always be trusted. So is that t-shirt almost like a subtle hint that there's more to him and the mirrors than he's letting on? Bearing in mind, he seems quite knowledgeable about the mirrors in Shenmue 2. He knew exactly how to make the pattern work, for example. So,
blowing smoke, you mean?
Yeah. So now he might have been doing that to give Ryo information, potentially, but how does he know this? Like, why does he know this information? How has he come to obtain that information? And then it also begs the question, why was Landy and the Chi Men after him? You look at, obviously, Shenmue 2, the game, it's very much Landy wants to take him away. In the anime, it's slightly different. Yuanzhu gives him the information of Bailu Village in Guilin, and then Landy sods off and leaves Ryo in his little rage. But it's all very interesting that Zhu has all this information. The Chi Men are after him, but we don't know why, other than they don't like Yuanzhu. Is there something else going on there? Is he playing everybody? There's the theory that he could be Tentei himself and is just almost like the master puppeteer, potentially. I don't know. But
manipulative.
All the same, it's very, very interesting. And I don't know how that's going to play out. None of us know how it's going to play out. But leaving that mystery there for a minute, I want to talk about the Yima in Shenmue 3. A sort of a closing point, I guess, is if you take the time at Man Yuan Temple to go around, you can see all the Yimas, and there's Yimas from Kickstarter backers, but there's also Yimas from characters in the game. And one that comes up, and we're 99.9% this is Yuan's grandfather, you pick up Yima and it says, "I've filled my duties to the Emperor and am relieved." Now that gives every inclination that is Yuan Liaoshan.
You'd have thought so. Yeah, you'd have definitely thought so. It's one of the few actually unnamed ones, but I think it's very much a subtle hint of this deeper sort of storyline that, it's just a massive mystery. And like you were saying about Yuanzhu, there's more to meet the eye with that bloke, because, you know, you've got the clash of characters between him and Master Chen, for example, when they're both discussing the mirrors. Master Chen says that if these get in the wrong hands, they could unleash this Chiyu beast, this monster of like ancient China. Whereas on the other end, Yuanzhu, he says that the mirrors form a key to the treasures to revive the Qing dynasty, which God only knows what that means. I mean, what are the treasures? What would happen once this dynasty's been revived? It's very much like a lot of stuff's like spoken in riddles almost. It's very hard as a player to actually understand what mystery is going on here. And obviously, hopefully we get these answers at some point, but it's just, I don't know if any of this is actually linked or what, but I think being able to read the mirror plans in more detail, because obviously in the game they're quite hard to see, like even harder to see than you can read on the t-shirt here. So at least we now have some sort of a confirmation of what these characters potentially represent, and it makes a lot of sense actually.
Yeah, it does. And there's other little mysteries within this as well, like for example, how's the scroll ended up at Bailey Village that basically tells them where to go, who made that scroll, and why is it there? Is it all part of this grand weird plan that's going around, or is there further things at play, which hopefully we'll find out when we get to the Cliff Temple in Shenmue 4 when we get there. If we get there, we will get there.
Hopefully. As a bonus little mystery, so like I showed the front of the t-shirt, bizarrely there's a barcode on there, and I don't know if that is a clue or is that like some sort of a cryptic message that anyone out there can potentially decipher, someone that's a bit more knowledgeable on barcodes or can read the numbers listed there. But I had a go myself, and if you notice at the top here, it goes 955. So I was actually looking on what these numbers actually represent, and there's a big list of all the country codes for barcodes. And 955 apparently is the country code of a barcode for Malaysia. So that doesn't really mean anything to a Shenmue fan Malaysia as such. But if you notice, these sixes at the bottom here as well. And 695 is the country code for China, which makes more sense. Obviously, all of this stuff originates in China. And even if it's 696, I don't know if that's how you read a barcode. Like, I've got no idea if the numbers on the top are separate from the numbers at the bottom. But even if it's 696, that's still a code that originates in China. So potentially there's a mystery there if anyone wants to have a go at that and let us know if you can read that barcode or if you've got any idea what that barcode could be hinting at, or is it just a random, another random thing that they used on this t-shirt for no apparent reason? I don't know.
Possibly. It's weird. And the t-shirt itself, like, you don't see many of them at all.
This is anywhere. The only one I've ever seen, mate.
It's rare as hell.
Shenmue.com t-shirt.
I couldn't tell. I've never, ever seen one anywhere on the internet other than the one you've got in your hand there. So I don't know.
I didn't make it myself, I swear.
So I don't know if anybody who's watching this would know like how these t-shirts came about, how you got hold of them, why they were made, etc. It's interesting that it's 2001 on the label, actually. Mm. So it sounds like it could have been made for Shenmue 2, perhaps?
Possibly. Like that sort of in-between era.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I say, it could have been related to the passport for Shenmue 1, like a giveaway prize or something, like getting a high score and something, or just a competition. There was a lot of them at the time in Japanese gaming magazines. You enter this, you can win this exclusive t-shirt. Or even, like I say, with it saying Shenmue.com on the front, potentially it's a relic from the website that, like, if you enter, you can win this t-shirt, or maybe there was even a shop back in the day on the Shenmue.com.
Which is mad, isn't it? When you
a
think
t-shirt of, for the website, I don't know.
You think about the amount of merchandise that's come out for Shenmue, the original games, on its own.
And actually, like you say there, 2001 is more Shenmue 2 era, and obviously the mirror plans are basically a Shenmue 2 thing, aren't they? So, yeah. Could have been something in it to tie to that.
Would very much coincide with it. But I think that sort of brings us to the end of this little analysis video. We are going to be doing some more of these as time sort of moves on. We've got a few of these sort of planned in our heads that have been planned for years and years that we just never got round to doing until now.
I mean, please leave your thoughts below, guys. If you've got any idea what any of this means, why Z and does... crest thing is on the sleeve, or what's going on with the barcode there on the front there, or if you can read clearer the translations and you maybe got something different than what Chow got, please let us know. It'd be very interesting to see other people tackle this subject.
Brilliant. So all that remains for me to say is obviously thank you everybody who's tuned in. Don't forget to give us a like, share, subscribe, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You pretty much find us Shenmue Dojo everywhere these days. But if you can't, then obviously just drop us a comment below and we'll pick those up as we go. Let us know what you think. But for now, it's a goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Take care, guys. Have a good one. And we'll see you soon. All the best.
Ah, look at the time.